Bibles to the Song of Solomon. The Song of Solomon. You go to Psalms, then you go to Proverbs, and then you go to Ecclesiastes, and then the next chapter, next book is Song of Solomon. I am unhooking my train this morning, pulling over at Norwood on the sidetrack, and putting in a little car that I've been preaching through the book of Deuteronomy, and I will do it. And I'm going to preach on why I don't believe men ought to wear dresses. Amen? We're in that chapter, so you ladies got a notion of what's coming, and I'm not going to dodge one of you. Amen? I'm going to preach on why men ought not wear dresses. How many thinks men ought not wear dresses? All right, okay, so guess what else that means? That means women ought not dress like men, amen? That's exactly what it means. The Bible said it's an abomination. Visitors, we're glad that you're here. And I want you to look at a passage of Scripture. I think God's got something to help us this week. And so get your Bibles open. If you don't have a Bible, get with somebody that does so you can read this verse of Scripture so you don't think I'm preaching out of a J.C. Penney's catalog. Because I'm telling you what, this Bible make a difference in your life. Amen? How many are getting here glad your sins are forgiven through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're here today and your sins are not forgiven, you can have that. It's free. He paid the price. All you got to do is ask God to forgive you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Call on the Lord. Well, verse number 15, Song of Solomon, chapter 2. How many is there say amen?
Amen.
All righty. How many would like to get some help this morning?
Amen.
All righty. I'll tell you, I believe one thing. If you come tend to get some help, you can get some. If you don't think you're going to get anything, probably won't. But here it is, verse number 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. The Bible said, take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Now, I want to put that in hillbilly vernacular. Kill the foxes that's eating your grapes. That's Reg Kelly's translation. Kill the foxes that's eating your grapes. Now, I've been fox hunting this week. I've been killing foxes. I've had so much fun killing foxes, I thought you'd all like to join me in fox killing. Now, some of you think them little critters is cute, just like you think some little sins are cute. But you're going to find out that them foxes will spoil your grapes. Foxes in the Bible always have, as far as I can tell, a bad connotation. Jesus called Herod. Herod said, I'd like to see Jesus. I'd like to see him do some miracles. I've been hearing about this miracle work. Man, I'd like to see him make somebody's toe grow. I mean, I'd like to see a miracle. Jesus said, you tell Herod that fox. I'll be down at Jerusalem. If he wants to see me, he can come when I'm down there. Jesus Christ called Herod a baby killer. The one who had John the Baptist's head cut off to please his illegitimate wife's daughter, Jesus called him a fox. I don't think if Jesus Christ called a man a fox in a bad connotation, I don't think I'd want to be called a fox. The Bible said that these foxes were spoiling the vines. Foxes are known for, there's a creek just south of my place, runs off down toward Bryant Creek. How many knows what it's called? Fox Creek. How many knows why it's called Fox Creek? Because it'll trick you. Fox Creek will trick you several ways. Number one, the water, most of it runs underground where you can't see it. Foxes, when they're being chased, will go through logs and go through places to get away from dogs, and they're known to be sly and cunning and tricky, but Fox Creek also will come up fast on you. Fox Creek come up and take your crops out. There's walls of water. So if we get enough water down Fox Creek, I mean, it'll just come down through there in the 3, 4, 5 foot high wall of water. Foxes in the Bible is known to be the enemy of the children of God. Fox is a picture of the enemy of the kingdom of God, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the people of God. God never equates foxes with being the child of God's friend or helper in your journey of faith. Now, we've talked about foxes. What about grapes? Well, grapes, it's not a vegetable. Grapes are fruit. And it's a picture that grapes is a source of grape juice. Now, for you winos out there this morning, we're not talking about fermented liquor. We're not talking about that when it stirs itself aright in the cup. We're talking about grape juice. And grape juice comes from grapes. But the juice of the grape is a type of the Spirit of God. And it's a type of being filled with the Spirit of God. But particularly, grapes speak of joy. Wine speaks of joy. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:18, "And be not drunk with wine that comes from grapes, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." God commands you and I to be filled with the Spirit of God. Galatians 5:22 said that the fruit of the Spirit, fruit, grapes, is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, long-suffering. Moves on, nine of them. I will say this to you tonight. A lot of people in the world want to talk about love, and it's true. It's the first fruit of the Spirit. And I would say to you that all the rest of the fruit of the Spirit are contingent upon the fruit of love. But I will say this, that joy is second only in list to love. Liquor, wine, beer, whiskey, of which I hate, and you ought to hate, is the devil's substitute for joy and the wine of the Spirit of God. You see, Satan knows that you have a deeply entrenched, innate, natural desire for joy. Some kind of happiness, as it were, in life. Some kind of exuberant experience of living. And the devil's found out that, you know, that if he can give you a substitute. You see, the devil's got a substitute for everything God has. And his substitute for joy is something that will alter your mind or make you forget about your troubles, your trials, your problems for a while, and give you a temporary bit of happiness. The picture in the text this morning is this. About the time, now think about this. Now I'm preaching basically Christians today. I'm sure preaching to myself, and I ain't doing nothing but preaching to you what God preached to me this week. As I listen to preachers and listen to the Word of God. About the time that you and I would have fruit ready to store up and eat, the foxes come and get it. How many is ever just about time you want to be happy? All you want to do is live your life and just have a good time and just, you know, just, you just wanted to live life. Just wanted to have a home, your family. Just wanted to have your spouse. Just wanted to have, you know, what you thought was kind of normal things of life, and kaboom, kaboom, and something came along and ate your joy up. Somebody's had joy ate up the last month. Anybody had your, I have. I've had things happen, just ate my joy, just totally up. I mean, just gobbled my grapes up. And so it's a picture that about the time that we would bear fruit, the joy of the Holy Ghost, along comes a stinking fox and of the world and the flesh and the devil, and spoils the grapes. Now here's the thing about it. It didn't say ate them all, just spoiled them all. I mean, here's this cluster of grapes, and he didn't eat them all. He just chewed on them a little bit, popped them a little bit. A lot of them still hanging there, but they ain't fit for nothing. And he spoiled them. He spoils the grapes. He spoils the fruit, the joy of our lives. And this is irritating to me. Don't you do nothing to rob me of my joy. Amen? Doesn't it aggravate you to get your joy messed up? I mean, because, you know what? It takes time and patience to bear grapes. I mean, all this effort and all this went into it, and boy, just about the time the grapes are just, I mean, 3 or 4 days, honey, we're picking the grapes. Well, we're going to have a party. You go out there and the stupid foxes spoiled them all. They're shredded up. They're torn off the limbs. They're laying there trashed in the ground. And everything that you waited and labored for and hoped for is in the dirt. Ever been there? You bunch of sorry, low down thing. Don't sit there and act like you don't have the joy stolen from you. The foxes don't ruin your grapes. Another application is this, and I'm not preaching on it, but I just got this morning when I was reviewing the message. What about our children? Aren't they a picture of grapes? Aren't they a picture of the time and the patience and the labor? And about the time your kids, you think, man, we're about to see the fruit. And all of a sudden the foxes of this world come and spoil your kids. Mess your kids up. The flesh and the world come and mess your time. I mean, here you put all these years in these kids. And all of a sudden some stupid, idiotic fox ruins the fruit. Well, but that's not what I'm preaching on. A spoil means to ruin. It means to steal. It means to destroy. It means to devastate. It means to consume. And this morning I want to look at the foxes spoiling the grapes of our personal joy. Not your children, not anything else. I just want to talk about our personal joy. I want to tell you something. I can't pastor without some measure of personal joy. I cannot be a husband to Karen that I ought to be without some measure of personal joy. I can't be a daddy to my children nor a grandfather to my grandchildren as I ought to be without. I can't be a son to my own mom and dad. I can't be a brother to my family without having some measure of personal joy. And I had to take a really good look this past week, and I had to back up and say, Reggie, the foxes is getting your joy. The foxes is spoiling your vines. And Reggie, if you don't have some joy, you're going to have nothing to give anybody else. There'll be nothing for you to minister out of your heart to anybody else in this world. And I want to preach on foxes stealing your personal joy, and then I want to finish out about killing foxes. Is there anything, if there's anything Satan wants to spoil in your life, it's the joy of the Lord. Why? Can anybody tell me why Satan would want to steal your joy? The Bible says in Nehemiah that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Now, if God says, now you listen to me, if God said that the joy of the Lord is your strength, brother, the sister, the joy of the Lord is your strength. And if you don't have the joy of the Lord, you don't have the spiritual strength you're going to need to walk the Christian life and live productively and fruitfully as God would have you to live. Joy has power in it. It does. Don't joyful people irritate you. When you're not, when you've had all your grapes spoiled, doesn't it irritate you to see somebody else whose grapes are not spoiled? I mean, misery loves company. Isn't that the truth? Joy has power spiritually. Let me tell you something. A lost person who sees a Christian with the joy of the Lord, that is one of the greatest testimonies deep, deep down inside his soul that he'll ever get hit with. How can they have joy? I talked to a man last night who recently lost his 17-year-old son suddenly without warning. I listened to that man for 45 minutes talk to me on the phone. And I listened to a man who had not had the grapes spoiled on his vine. I listened to a man who said, Reggie, I don't understand it and I can't explain it. And I'll never know why this side of glory, why God took my son home. But I can tell you this, I still trust the Lord. And he was able to laugh with me on the phone and visit. And I'm telling you, there was no bitterness in him and there was no hardness in him. There was no callousness in him. There was no angry toward God. And he had the joy of the Lord. And the joy of the Lord was what was giving him his strength. I'm saying this to you tonight, that the joy, it rips up the lies of the devil, because the devil will tell you that if you live for Jesus and you really set out to God and you do what's right and you obey God, well, your life's going to be ruined. You'll never have any fun. You're going to miss out on life. No, no. The joy of the Lord in an obedient Christian, it rips up the lies of the devil and it tells you seriously and solidly that there is joy in serving the Lord Jesus Christ, and it does pay to serve God irregardless of everything that hits you. Joy glorifies God the Father. Let me tell you something. There's not a parent in this building, but what you want your kids to be a little bit happy. I'm telling you what, Brother Phil, if you walked in here Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, and your kids sat on the front row of this church going, you know what, pretty soon I'd think there's something wrong with your house. Did you know that the joy that's in the hearts of your children are a reflection of the life that you folks live in the home you have? Did you know what? I want my kids to have some joy because it makes me look good. Amen. I'm just being honest with you. Kenny, if our kids go around all the time, I'm just mad, sad, down, out, sorrowful. I mean, they're just out all the time. Doesn't it look, pretty soon something's wrong in that home. Something's wrong in that life. I want to tell you something. God, hey, what about our Heavenly Father when His children come into His house? Time to sing. Let's go sing. Some of you make me feel like that if nobody got up and sang, it wouldn't mean nothing to you. You're going to sit in that seat and kill it till it's buried. Some of you need to repent for your lack of singing. But that singing is nothing but a surface problem to the heart problem you don't have any joy to sing about. So you don't want to get up here and look like a hypocrite. Amen. Now, don't forget, I will amen myself if you won't. But it takes twice as long for me to preach the message that way. So if you amen and I preach, we get out of here quicker. Help me, amen. These folks that were visiting last week from Illinois, first thing they did to me when they got here, they said, where's the guy that's all the time saying, amen? Joy glorifies and honors the Lord because it tells the world that you're happy with your Heavenly Father. You got a good home and a good Heavenly Father. John 15, Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy, His joy, might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Hey, you know what you got to do? You got to make up your mind that the foxes is not going to eat all your grapes. You got to make up your mind that you're not going to be dragged down to the hell hole of bitterness and hatred and strife and garbage the rest of your life. You got to shake yourself and wake up and say, I'm going to go kill some foxes. Not going to let them keep you down. And John 16 said, your sorrow shall be turned into joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Van sung that this morning when we got in here. This world has no answer to the spirit-filled, joy-filled Christian. It doesn't have any answer. I mean, you don't have $1 million. Your health's not good. Things bad have happened to you, and yet you're joyful. What can they say to that? Except he must have somebody living inside him beyond himself. Now let me tell you something. There's no fruit I know of that bears year-round. There's no fruit I know of that bears year-round. So you know what you got to do? When the grapes are ripe, you got to pick them and you got to make grape juice. And then you take that grape juice and you can it up real good and you seal it up real good and you take it down to the cellar. Because you know what? There's going to be a part of the year when it's not bearing. And you're going to have some grape juice stored up from the grapes that the foxes didn't get so you can have some joy when everybody else ain't got any or you will not have any. There is no fruit that bears year-round. You're going to have some stuff stored up in you for dry times. You're going to have some of the Word of God and the Spirit of God memorized and meditated upon that you can draw out of when life gets rough and life gets dry and life gets tough. You've got to have something inside you stored up from the season before because no fruit bears year-round. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I'm talking about that there's a reason that we gotta get going here. There's a reason that we need to kill some foxes. Number one, grapes are desired by foxes. Misery loves company and the devil hates you. And the devil desires to take your joy just as a fox desires to spoil the grapes. He is out to rob you of your joy. And if he can't make it real, he'll make it seem real. Life's bad, isn't it, Ty? You haven't had a chance, have you, Ty? You don't understand I'm playing the part of the devil, don't you? Life hadn't been fair. I think your mom and daddy loves her more than they love you, too. I bet anything they buy you stuff they didn't buy for him when he was your age. Is that right, Ty? That's right, amen. Did you know there's nobody sitting in this church house? But what if you have a conversation with the devil? It can't get bad. I mean, it can get really, really bad if you sit around and listen to the devil tell you how everybody else has got it better than you do. And I'm telling you, God hasn't been good. And pretty soon, you've had your grapes picked. First thing you know, your grapes are spoiled. First thing, there's no joy of the Holy Ghost in you, and it's all bad. I'm telling you, listen, grapes are desired by the foxes. Number two, grapes are delicious fruit. I said they're fruit, and you can't produce it. You can bear it, but you can't make it. Branches can only bear fruit. They don't produce fruit. I'm just telling you this. The only place you'll ever get joy is in the Holy Ghost. Reggie Kelly can't bring it in jars for you on Sunday morning. If I could, I'd set it up out there. You couldn't get out the gate without two jars. But I can't produce joy in you. Only the Holy Spirit. The joy is a fruit of the Spirit. And you can't get joy anywhere else in the world. Now, let me tell you something this morning. Nowhere in the Bible does it tell you that you got to go around getting giddy, giddy, giddy all the time. That is not what I'm preaching. Paul said, sorrowing yet rejoicing. You listening to me? I'm talking about having joy stored up in here so when things come on that are sorrowful, it doesn't take away your joy. It doesn't destroy your testimony. In fact, it's during those times when your joy has its greatest testimony. All right? So grapes are desired by the foxes. They are delicious fruit, but it only comes from the Holy Spirit. And grapes are delicately fragile. They're easy busted. Yesterday we was going down to a place and I grabbed me two or three cracker deals and stuff like that, and I grabbed me a bag of grapes. I was going down the highway. I was reaching to pick out a grape. Boy, don't you like to pop a grape? Do y'all ever eat grapes? They're good, amen? I like to pop a grape. Good, tasty grapes. Going down the highway eating grapes. I said, the fox ain't got these, amen? Now, let me tell you something. They're fragile. You say, what do I mean by that? Joy is fragile. Joy is tender. The Bible said there, the tender grapes. You know what you can do? You can walk into church house this morning. You was all happy to get here, and one person popped your grape. One person who didn't look at you right, speak to you right, pay attention to you like you thought maybe they should have, or looked at you wrong, or the preacher said something, and I know he's talking straight at me. And your grape got... And you came in wanting to have joy, but you left because it's tender grapes. And I'm going to tell you something. That's why you got to kill foxes. Sometimes that fox may be your own doubts, your own attitude. You may have to kill a fox called your attitude. If I could really get a fox running up here, I'd put on him your attitude. Your attitude is what's killing the grapes. The fox of an ungodly, worldly attitude will kill more grapes and steal more grapes, you can imagine. Now there's the reality of it. Let's get at it here. We're going to let you out. There are some foxes that spoil your joy and rob you, and I'm going to tell you here some of them. Number one, bad health. Now you listen to me. You don't have to, but it can. I found something out. I'm not very spiritual, Ramona. When I don't feel good, don't come around. I'm telling you something. You can say what you want to. You can think you're spiritual, but if you ain't careful, when you get to hurting and you're in pain and you're in, I mean, when you don't feel good, you don't feel joyful. But you know what? I have been around a lot of people who didn't feel good, who made me realize how small a Christian I am. And I'm telling you this morning, that bad health does not have to spoil your grapes. It doesn't have to ruin your joy. In the midst of our bad health, if we'll just let God produce the fruit for us, we can have some joy in the midst of bad health. I hate to tell everybody in this, but it's a good odd. The odds are very good that some of you are going to have some bad health before you get out of here. And bad health is something that can rob people of their joy. I've been encouraged by more people in this church even who's been going through some hard things, but they can still smile. Amen? Still smile. Bad health can do it. Let me tell you another thing. The fox that will steal your grapes, and that's heat. I'm talking about anger. You were out. You drove out. You had your devotions that morning. You read your Proverbs and Psalms. You prayed. And you took off. And you were headed down the highway, and somebody went around you, and they were giving you sign language. And the heat came. This is no joke. This is honest truth. Happens every time I get a message. Went to Springfield, see Delia and the baby and Jake. Didn't see him, saw Jake. But anyway, see a family. Got out of there, had Jackson and Rowan with us. Let's go somewhere and eat. I was ready to go eat somewhere. Boy, I'm going to be nice to Karen and the kids, and I'm going to take them to eat. And then we're going to go to Andy's. Hey, man, we're going to Andy's. That's the only reason I go to Springfield. The hospital deal is just a side deal. Some of you think I really care about you. It's just an excuse to go to Andy's. Amen. So anyway, we decided, where are you going to go to? I said, let's go down to that place that serves them soup and sandwiches. They got a really good soup I like down there. Went down to this place that serves soup and sandwiches. Because I didn't want to get too full before I got to Andy's. See, that's important. So anyway, I'll go in there, you walk up there, but I always did have trouble with this place because I don't understand the menu. And I don't like pulling through driveways, do you? Hey, good morning, do you want this? No, I just want a stupid hamburger, please. I don't need all that other stuff. If you work at McDonald's, don't do that. Unless they tell you to. I walk in there, it says pick two. I pick two. And she commenced to tell me that she didn't have it right. I said, well, it says pick two. I picked those two right there, them two right there. No, that ain't right. I'm like, forget it. That little fox busted my grape. I backed up to the wall and said, forget it. Karen, you just... Jackson's going. Rowan's going. I come that close and said, we're not eating at this place. They don't even know how to write a menu up. Why don't they just say cornbread and beans, all you can eat, come get it. No. Pick two. Pick two of what? Okay, I'll pick that. I'll pick it. Still not right. It says pick that one and that one. Still not right. Get out of here. Move. Had grape splattered all over the walls. It's the truth. So I go over to get my water. Water don't even taste good by now. Pitiful, ain't it? Y'all ever been there? I said, Lord, do we really have to preach that Sunday? He said, yeah, this is your best illustration. Heat will rob you of your joy. I don't know. Poor Donnie, he can't help it. He was born in my family. He'll call me up. He'll tell me about, things that happened. Somebody, Donnie, you just like me. I see Donnie's heat come up, and then it takes him about a day or two, and he's got all right. But see that, Donnie, our grapes are tender. They're easily done, easily messed up. Third thing is, hoarding can rob you of your joy. Money. I mean to tell you what, focusing on the material side of this life instead of the spiritual side of this life. 1 Timothy chapter 6 says, many have, they have pierced, he said, while some have, they those that will to be rich have pierced themselves through with many sorrows. Just wanting to be rich. Never got there, just wanting to be rich. I'm going to tell you something this morning. Money's not going to fix your problem and sure ain't going to give you a bunch of joy. You just try it and see. You say, well, I'd sure like to try it one time. Well, I'm going to tell you, it ain't going to buy you joy. It may make you happy to buy your kids trinkets that'll ruin them, but it ain't going to make you joyful. I'm saying this to you, that money, you know, y'all been on the monkey hunt, ain't you? Let me give you preachers a good 3-point outline, okay? Gourds, goodies, and greed. Gourds, goodies, and greed. That's how they catch monkeys. Over in Australia, there's a monkey. You can't catch him no other way. They've tried and tried and tried. But they figured out one time, you take a gourd. And you cut a hole in that gourd about that big around. And you drop peanuts down inside that gourd. You hang it up in a tree. And the monkey comes along. He smells the peanuts. You got the gourd. The peanuts is the goodies. The monkey, see, the gourd's tied with a wire to the tree. Then the monkey, peanuts, reaches his hand down in there, grabs the peanuts, and he never will unclench them. And when he doubles his fist up, it's got him. He can't pull his arm out of there. And you could have 6 wild horses come. They said that these guys will walk right up to him and the guy's walking up with a net. All he's got to do is let go. But he won't let go. They throw the net around him, gourd, monkey, and all. Gourds, goodies, and greed. Got him. I'm going to tell you something. That money, it ain't going to make you happy. It may be the ruination of your life. And then there's high living. Can rob you of your joy. When I say high living, I'm talking about living above your means. One of my sons said something I don't think I'll ever forget. He said, you can measure your stress level according to your debt. Trying to live above our means will rob us of our joy. We can't even think about having a good time with our family. We got to pay the bills. High living will destroy your joy. It's a fox that steals the grapes off of your soul. You got to run. Heartache is a fox that will steal the grapes off of your soul. The loss of a loved one. I talked about the man I talked to last night. The Bible said, hope deferred maketh the heart sick. When the Bible said, when the wicked rule, the people mourn. I doubt that there's anybody in this church house that hasn't had a good measure of heartache in your life, but if you're not careful, heartache will rob you of your joy. Listen, you got to cast all your burden upon the Lord and let Him sustain you. You got to come unto Him. You got to cast your care upon the Lord. Heartaches, I've seen people, you know, they just never get over it. I'm going to tell you something. You're not the first person that ever had a broken heart. You are not the first person that ever had a heartache. There are heartaches everywhere you're looking at. And the real test of Christianity is whether you're able to have joy in the midst of your heartaches. I got to run. The next one, whichever number this is, hurts. Hurts. You see the difference between heartaches and hurts. You can have a heartache over a lost loved one or something, a loved one dying or whatever like that. But then there's the hurts of life. And I got to thinking about this because I think this is the little fox that comes around my house a lot. It hurt me. They hurt me. The Bible says a wounded spirit, who can bear? You've been done dirty. You've been rejected, and thus you've rejected yourself. And the second you rejected yourself, fox got your grapes. Because you'll never have joy if you don't accept who you are and who God made you to be. I'm talking about warts and all. I got a great big old thing right back here. See, that thing grows hair all the time. Every barber in the country cuts it. Except that one right over there. I'm telling you, listen, everybody's got warts. Everybody's got something that ain't pretty. Unless you're putting enough makeup on it to cover it up. I could run a trail on that one. There are some things that ought to be covered up. You were wounded in the house of your friends. People you loved hurt you. Now, I'm going to tell you, you are going to get hurt in life. But if you let the fox of hurt spoil your grapes and your vine, you're never going to have any life worth living. And this just rolled me out, Kenny. I'm going to give you a little demonstration how you got to watch being hurt. I'm going to ask you a question. Now listen to me real good. How many people? I started preaching in 1982 with a little congregation of about 40 people. You listening to me? May of 1982. Down here south of Norwood. About a year from that, we moved up here to this church. I started with about 40 people. I want to see a hand raise of all the people that started with me who are still with me. Raise your hand. Hi, where they can see it. Not Dave, no, down south of Norwood. Was you down in Norwood? No, I'm talking about down there at Old Fort. Now raise your hands up where you can see it. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Nathan, you can put your hand up because you were here. You don't remember, but you were here. Zachary, you could too because you were here. That's right, you were here. Now, are you listening to me? I went into ministry. And 29 years later, of the 40 or 50-some people I started with, the only people that's still with me is about 5 or 6 members of my family. And Kenny, if I had let the foxes of rejection steal all my grapes, I wouldn't have been here this morning. You young preachers, you better take that to the bank. Jason, you better take that to the bank. Sam, you better take that to the bank. If you don't learn how to deal with these foxes that try to use hurt to spoil your grapes, you will not make it. Elijah, you listening to me? How'd you like to be 29 years from now and the only people that you started with sitting right here, some of them? You wonder why some preachers are hard, calloused. You see, I got a choice. I can either feel sorry for myself and say, Lord, there must not nobody like me for very long. And they're just staying with me because they're family. Or I can say, you know what? Lord, I'm just here. And as you bring these people by, help me to be a blessing. Because I don't have no right for anybody to stay with me. In fact, I haven't even stayed with myself. Truth be known. But what I'm telling you is this, hurts can hurt you. And it's a fox that want, all hurts are about, it's how you respond to them. They're just wanting to rob your grapes. Don't raise your hand. But it's okay if you nod, your head. How many's been hurt by me? Yeah. You see, you got to learn, don't let Reggie be used. Don't let the devil use Reggie to bust your grapes. Then there's habits. Habits can rob you of your grapes. Now listen to me. Something may not be sinful or evil in and of itself. I should have bought a fishing pole. Let's pretend that this is a fishing pole. This is fishing pole. Nothing in the world says, evil, wicked, oh, get your hands off of that nasty thing. But it's when the fishing pole gets between you and God. That fishing pole will rob you of your joy. Nothing wrong with a stupid stick that you hit balls in the grass with. If you're that bored, help yourself. I ain't that bored, amen? I could do that in my yard with a stick. How bored can you get? I don't guess anything wrong with the golf club, but when the golf club gets between you and God, it'll rob you of your joy. You know why? Because the Holy Spirit of God will be grieved because God's to be first place in your life. And there'll be something about that golf club won't give you the joy that you really need. I don't guess anything wrong with it. I never seen a basketball yet. The evil, wicked, nasty, filthy thing. Get don't touch it. I don't guess anything wrong with the basketball, but when basketball gets between you and God, it's going to rob you of your joy. Listen, habits, hobbies, when they get between you and God, the Holy Ghost is grieved. That liquor. Oh, the Bible said, use a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Give wine to him that is heavy of heart. See, it says in the Bible, Jesus turned water into wine. It's the only verse them guys know. It's the only one they know. But I'm going to tell you something. You say what you want to about liquor. But I'm going to tell you this much. The Bible said drunkard not inherit the kingdom of heaven. I can tell you that. So, well, wait a minute. I don't get drunk. No, but what you do in moderation, your kids will do in excess. And if you're for liquor, what are you going to do about all these people that's getting killed and kids have been... I mean, tell you what, just massacred on our highways. That's what I don't understand about the federal government. Federal government claims to be interested in everybody's health and welfare. Why don't they stop the liquor industry? Number one, stop the industry. That'd help more people stay alive and more sane and more homes together about anything I know. But they won't do that. I'm saying, listen, tobacco. Amen. Now, you can't tell me that you can have the joy of the Lord as your strength and you chewing tobacco. Dipping it, slopping it. Whatever you want to call it, chewing it. You say, how do you know that, Reggie? Yeah. And what, I realized that tobacco is a weed. It's a plant. And I realized that, do you know something? The Bible don't mess your body up. And don't be like the world. And drinking and tobacco and all that junk and drugs, that's worldly stuff. That's of the world. I'm just saying to you, ain't nothing wrong with a 30-06 deer rifle. I don't read in the Bible where it's, oh, 30-06, keep your hands off them things. But it's when that hunting gets between you and God. Somebody said they're out there hunting for a goat with thyroid trouble. I don't know. Sitting up in a tree, 4 o'clock in the morning, freezing to death. Camouflage underwear. Camouflage breeches, camouflage coat. And then a big orange vest. That's the dumbest, stupidest thing. I mean, I've done it. That's stupid. A guy from Norwood could say it. Now, what's this? But they'll tell you, brother, the deer color blind. Well, if they are, why do I need camouflage? This ain't all working just right, folks. Nothing wrong with hunting, but when it takes you away and gets in front of God, then hunting becomes a habit, a hobby that will rob you of your joy in the Lord. Yes, sir. Amen. But more than likely, I've preached around the moon right now already. But more than likely, let me tell you what's robbing you of your joy. That's hidden sin. You listen to me? It may not be your health, and it may not be heating, it may not be this, that, or the other, and it may not be a hobby, it may not be all that stuff, but let me tell you what I do know will rob you and probably robbing anybody in this church house that does not have the joy of the Lord. Right now, hidden sin is what's really robbing you of your joy. David committed adultery. For about 9 months he hid that sin. Nathan had to come and deal with him. He recorded David in Psalm 51, "Oh God, be merciful unto me." He said, "Be merciful," and he began to pray for God to forgive him. And about halfway through that prayer, David prayed this, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." It was hidden sin. Let me tell you why some of you young people ain't got the joy of the Lord in you. And by the way, can I just say something else? I'm going to look from that corner to this corner. You ain't got nobody in this church house fooled. I can see it in your eyes where there's sin in your life. Yes, sir. The absence of the light of God in your eye tells me whether there's sin in your life or not. Yes, sir. You mom and daddies know that. You ain't stupid. You can tell if you're spiritually alert and you care about the spiritual condition of your children. You can tell when there's hidden sin, there's something going on. Something going on. I've had moms and daddies in this church when they've been dealing with problems with their own children come and talk to Karen and I, and I've heard mama say, "I know they're lying. They're not telling me the truth. I want to believe them, but in my heart, I know they're lying." Let me tell you something. Ain't nobody in this church house hates you. They just want you to have the joy of the Lord. They just want to keep foxes from stealing your grace and your joy. Hidden sin. You know, the thing about hidden sin, it's only hid from man. Maybe. But it's not hidden from God. You kids memorize this verse. "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the good and the evil." You'll never hide nothing from God. I'm telling you this. Fathers, men across this country right now think they're hiding their pornography from their families. Some of you men, you know maybe why you can't get up here and sing? Because you're watching porn. Oh, you say, "Well, it's just soft porn, Reggie." I'm not into the... Oh, really? So where'd you get that terminology at? Soft as compared to hard porn. You know why some of you men don't have the happiness and the joy of the Lord in you? Because I want to tell you something. That evil wickedness will rob your joy so fast, make your head swim. And your whole life will be nothing but phoniness. And there's no joy in you. Lust. You listen to me. Fornication will steal your joy. Amen. Adultery. It'll steal your joy. It's a fox that will literally spoil your vines. Dishonest dealings in your business. Lying. Deception. It'll rob you of your joy. I don't have to preach on everything because the Holy Ghost will do it. But if you've got hidden sin in your life this morning, I'm telling you, it's a fox that'll spoil your vine. You say, "Reggie, what's the result of the foxes spoiling our vines?" There's no joy, there's no strength, there's no courage, there's no confidence. You'll have a sorrowful and a sad, down and out attitude and countenance all the time. Or you'll have a fake and phony, giddy attitude, and you'll try to cover the lack of joy with a false, fleshly happiness. You can't come into this church house and truly worship in spirit and in truth. It's a drag to you. It's dull to you. It's just a duty you're doing. You don't have any joy in it. There's no gladness. There's no happiness. And I say it again to you, I was glad. David said, "I was glad when I said, come to the house of God." There'll be no song in your heart. There'll only be defeat and confusion and no testimony in your life. What's the remedy for it? Kill some foxes this morning. I want the pianist to come. The answer is not, listen to me this morning. The answer is not this. The answer is not this. Do not say, "Well, I'm going to quit bearing fruit. The foxes just get them." Don't say that. Don't sit back here and say, "I give up, I quit, I'll never be happy. There's no use trying." No, don't say that. Just do some fox killing this morning. Now, I'm going to give an invitation here in just a little bit. And up here, they're going to have fox killing this morning. And you come up here, and you know how to kill a fox? You confess it to God. You confess it. And the moment you confess it, I'm telling you something. There's something God does in the heart. Because confession brings the power of God into your... Behold, thou desirest truth in inward parts. You say, go fox hunting. You say, Reggie, how do I go fox hunting? Get in the Word. You know what I had to do this week? I had to get in this Bible. I had to read and read and read and read and read until finally I started killing the foxes. Finally, God began to show me what I needed to do. You say, well, I don't have it up here. I've been preaching 29 years. It's like I said, God, what I do, Lord, I do not want anybody. God, Jesus said, no man shall take your joy. So what I do. As you get in the Word. You say, how to kill foxes? Number one, confess it. Change your attitude. Get in the Word. Start speaking the truth in your heart. Give no place to the devil. Deal straight with it. Deal quickly with it and kill it. Knock it in the head. Now, here's the problem with some of you. God's give you the Word of God, the sword of the Spirit, and you went after a fox, and he was a little one. He's a cute little rascal. Just chase him out of the vineyard. Now, some of you need to stop the holes in the wall. You got holes in your wall. Let me tell you what some of it is, some of you. Some of it's your TV sets. I want to ask you, Mom and Daddy's a question morning. Do you really know what your children are watching at your house on TV? I was at the hospital the other day. And I'm telling you, Karen, I just about fell over. I don't know whether you know what. Did you know what was on that stinking TV set? Nickelodeon. Is that right? And MTV. And I never saw such filth. And it's all kids. Looks like from 8 to 13-year-old kids mostly. I'm talking about filth, trash. I want to ask you, Mom and Dad, do you know for sure that your kids are... And you wonder what's the matter with the spirituality of your kids. Why your kids have no interest in God. Why they don't have any interest in reading their Bible. Why they don't love God. Why they don't have a joy about life. Let me tell you something. You watch that slop and that puke, and there's a bunch of kids in this church house need to get some things right. This church needs a revival. I need to get revived. But I'm telling you what, listen, we got some kids in this church house need to repent of your hidden sins that your mom and dad doesn't even know you're doing. And you know I'm telling you, then I love you. Let me tell you something. You go out, you know, you get mad at me if you want to. Look, for 29 years, I've had kids mad at me. If I ever stop having kids mad at me, I'll quit preaching. I love you. I don't want the devil robbing you of your joy. I don't want to meet you down in life and you're just sour-headed about life and you've given up on life. I want you to have the joy of the Lord, your strength. Let's stand together this morning as we kill foxes. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed today, I want to ask you, do you need to come and kill a fox today? What's been robbing you of your joy? Money? Habits? You've been hurt? You've been angry? If anybody here this morning wants to come kill a fox? I've been letting something rob me of my joy. I'm coming. God bless you there. God bless you there. I'm not going to let the devil. I'm going to kill some foxes. I don't know what everybody else in this church house is doing. I'm going to kill some foxes today. Would you come? Would you come? Church, listen. All week long, that's all I've been doing is trying to kill foxes, stealing my joy. Dear God, I want to kill some foxes today. I'm not letting them stinking foxes rob me of my joy. I'm not letting them spoil my grapes any longer. I'm not letting them take away my strength and my joy. For the joy of the Lord is my strength. I'm going to let my life amount to something. I'm going to change my attitude. I'm not going to let bad health. I'm not going to let heartaches. I'm not going to let hurts. I'm not going to let anger. I'm not going to be robbed of my joy any longer. I'm going to let God deal with me. Would you come? Listen, there ought to be folks piling out of the pews. Piling out of the pews. Said, oh God, give us joy. The Lord back is our strength. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, God. Would you come this morning? God bless you, brother. Joy, joy. You know what? We'll have revival when I see people start getting here. I mean, they're ready to get to church and they're ready to get in this choir loft and they're ready to go. And God help us, and you're praying and you're seeking God. The joy of the Lord in your life, your strength. Would you come? Would you come? Oh, beloved, let me tell you something. I love you people. But what if I let the devil spoil all my grapes? What if I get up here? You know, about 6 months of me preaching with my grapes busted will do you folks up. It'll be all you can eat and can stand. Have you let the devil rob you of your joy? Has the little foxes spoiled your vines? A little envy, a little anger, a little jealousy? A little hurts, a little heartaches? Would you come this morning? Listen, these folks up here doing business with God. I'm your pastor. I care about your life. Why don't you come kill a fox this morning? It's robbing you of being happy. Robbing you of being joyful this morning. Would you come? God bless you, sister. Others, come this morning. Won't you come? Obey the Lord. I'm just going to ask this. Would you please, if the Holy Spirit of God's dealing with you, would you come? You say, well, do I have to come? Yeah, if you're fighting it, you do. Yeah, if you're fighting it, you have to come to get any victory today. Your victory will be in your surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you come? Would you come? Listen, you know what? Wouldn't you want this church to be the happiest, most joyful church in the country? Wouldn't that ought to be our goal? Wouldn't we ought to be the most happiest families, the happiest husbands and wives, the happiest young people in this country? But we're going to have to kill some foxes. We're going to have to kill some foxes that's spoiling the vines. Hurts and heartaches. Let me take you. Everybody look up here just a minute. I thank you for your attention. I want to tell you something that's true. When the Lord brought to my mind how many people has come in and out of that door, and how many people the devil has said to me on the pillow of my bed at night, Reggie, they hate your guts. They don't like you. They've left. For 29 years, if I would have let that rob me of my joy, I'd be in the insane asylum by now, Brother Phil. But God's got enough grace to keep you going. God's got enough grace to keep you loving. God's got enough grace to keep you forgiving. Sometimes it takes a while to fight that battle. Because there's none of us going to do everything right. I'm my own worst enemy. But you see, you can't let the devil steal all your grapes. Would you come this morning? Somebody else, you need to come. You want to kill some grapes today. Do some business with God. That hidden sin will get you. You listen to me. Until you deal with hidden sin, you will not have the true joy of the Lord. And I'm telling you before God Almighty, what I have spent my time this week doing is trying to kill foxes that's been robbing my grapes. Now, we're going to take the ultimate test here this morning outside the Lord. How many people say, Reggie, when I walk into church on Sunday morning, I can tell whether the grapes has been at your vineyard or not? Raise your hand. Oh, come on, you're lying. How many knows when the fox has got Reggie's grapes? Yeah. You can tell when the fox has got my grapes. I ain't fooling nobody. My mama told me years ago, she said, now, Reggie, you can't fool nobody. Your eyes tell it all. She's right. And I want to remind you that you may leave out of here this morning and not killed any foxes, but everybody in your family is going to know when you sit at the dinner table today whether you didn't kill the foxes or not. They can just tell because that sweet Holy Spirit will bear witness in your life. I love you. Now, if you'll turn around and hug your loved ones, tell them you love them, you can go home. I love all of you. I appreciate you.